Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Chris Miles here. Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. We're here to show you how to find and free up cash, how to have greater freedom and prosperity today, not just 40,000 years from now. Hey, I'm so excited to have you here with us today because we've got a great show in store for you. This show is actually inspired by one of my neighbors who said they had a question. They said, yeah, Chris, you know, we get all these people to tell us what to do with our money and paying off debt and all that kind of stuff, but nobody ever tells us what to do afterwards. Or if they do, is that advice really sound? Is it really any good? And so I'm excited to share this with you because, to be honest, I've done probably about 100 episodes between this show and my previous show, Fire Your Financial Advisor. And I'll tell you, I don't think I've ever addressed a specific question quite like this. We've tap danced around it a little bit, and we've talked about similar topics, but not quite this topic. So I'm really grateful for Tiana for being able to bring this topic to light, because I think this is something that's really valuable. Now, just to remind you, you know, you can check out a lot of free information, blogs, events, things like that at moneyripples.com. So be sure to check out our stuff, www.moneyripples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. Got lots of great information there, good updates, things like that. We'd love to have you visit us. And again, I love getting feedback. I love getting to show topics like this where I can share with something that's really pertinent to you, something you feel is a really good episode. Obviously, if you give me a topic that I just did a few weeks ago, I'm probably going to refer you back to that show. And I definitely encourage you to, here on these episodes, I encourage you to look at some of the past episodes and listen to those, because there's some really commonly asked questions that I address. Now, today, I am going to be addressing, you know, what to do with your money after you pay off your debt. And I'm going to be addressing those that have not paid off their debt yet, as well as those that have. And so there's going to be really two different types of information here for you. Based on this, but it's all going to wrap together in one whole. Now, many people will say, you'll find out from this topic here, my next week's episode, if you want to tune in next week, is if you're not going to invest in mutual funds, if you're not going to invest in 401ks or IRAs, where should you be putting your money? You know, especially if you've heard things that I've said, you'll oftentimes hear me rip into things that are mutual fund type of investments, which is ironic because I used to sell mutual funds about 10 years ago. But that's not the case anymore. I'm not a fan of mutual funds at all. So things like your traditional 401ks and IRAs, I'm just not a big fan of. But I am excited about some of the things we're going to be talking about today, because there are some things you can do both now and after you pay off your debt that can really create better chances of financial freedom than ever. So as we get into this, I want to really emphasize many of the things I've said, like in our first few episodes especially, is that any type of financial advice you've been given, things that you're typically hear on TV, on the radio, things that you're hearing from financial advisors and people like that, they've been proven to not work. Absolutely proven to not work. Well, what do I mean by that? If you look at the world today, look around you, I mean, look at real life. Don't look at what people are telling you it's supposed to be like. Look at how it really is like. Look at people that you know personally. Now, with the advice that we've been given over the last 30, even 40 years now, financial advisors really started to come on the scene more aggressively about the mid-70s, especially when the 401k started to come around for high executives and stuff like that. Was about in the mid-70s. It wasn't even available to normal people until about the mid-80s. So really the last 30 to 40 years, we've been given certain financial advice. How has that worked so far? If really putting $100 away a month, or even, you know, I remember, you know, people would say, and I used to teach this too in the beginning, is if you put away $100 a month for 40 years, you'll end up being a millionaire. Well, if that's true, why is the average person that's between the ages of 55 and 64 years old have an average 401k balance of $121,000, according to Fidelity, just at the end of 2013? So if that's the case, why is it not working? And that's the thing I want to challenge here is all the financial advice we've been given hasn't worked till now. Why should we keep following that same advice? You know, why do we keep being told, especially those of you that are entrepreneurs, because I know a lot of you are entrepreneurs listening to this show or small business owners, why are you told to keep putting money into mutual funds and things like that that haven't worked for you? Or why are you told to pay off all your debt and then start to save? Or why are you told to do it a certain way, right? How has that worked so far? And I've seen a lot of people do this and be very disciplined and come up short. They end up being disappointed. And by the way, even if you end up getting $1 million, which by the way, you have to save a lot more than $100 a month because they were basing that on market, you know, the stock market returning 12% a year, which it's never done. It might have done it for a year or two, but it's never done it consistently over time. The real actual rate of return of the stock market is like 7%. So you factor that in, you know, we really got a situation where people after 40 years find out they've got maybe a fourth, maybe they got $250,000 that they saved that well for 40 years. And that's part of the problem here. And so when it comes to what you do after you pay off your debt, like, well, what should we do after we pay off our debt? Well, for those of you that are still in debt, I would have you question whether or not paying off your debt right now completely before you start saving is the best method. Are we sure that we should just be paying off all our debt and then start to save? And a lot of times when you're saving things that are kind of risky, and so you're not even sure if that works, right? And then you would be better off paying off your debt instead. And so many people get very compartmentalized with their money. They're told either I do this or I do that. Either I save or I pay off my debt. But the one thing I would ask you, for those of you that still have it, is, well, should you be paying off your debt right now? Or what sort of debts should you be paying off versus the ones you shouldn't be? Now, some of you, you've actually heard me talk on this subject before in the previous episode about paying off your debt. And so I would encourage you to listen to that episode as well, just to kind of get more feedback around it. But the thing I want to pose to you is everything you've been taught, every strategy you think and plan that you think you have for creating financial freedom in your life, is if it hasn't worked for millions of people to this time, to this period so far, why would you want to keep doing that? Right? Why do we want to keep following that same advice? That's a problem. So this is my beef with that. The thing is, this is a good question, but for those of you that still have debt, that, you know, maybe, you know, and maybe some people are asking this question about what to do afterwards because maybe they have a plan to be out of debt in 7 to 10 years or something like that, and that's fantastic. But I would definitely challenge and say, well, is that the best use of how we use our money? You know, is that the best route to go to save? Because the one thing you have on your side is time. But unfortunately, the one thing that's working against you as well is also time. Time can allow you to do a lot of things financially that you can't do otherwise. In fact, it's the one commodity you can never get back. We can always lose and make money back. That's not a problem. I've done it before. Trust me, it's very possible. But you can never get time back. That's the one precious asset or commodity that you will never, ever get back. So for those of you that are still in debt, here's some things I would propose. Now, here's some of the advice you're hearing today. You hear people like a Dave Ramsey, for example, that would say, you know, build up your emergency savings to $1,000, then start paying off your debt, especially those credit cards. And once you get everything paid off other than your mortgage, then you can start maybe looking at doing some things with savings, like usually in mutual funds, right, and 401ks and things like that. You know, but he's obviously telling you to, you know, aggressively pay down your debt to some level. You get people like Susie Orman, where she'll say things, where she'll actually be a little bit more in the middle. She'll kind of say, well, she used to be all about savings and just doing savings and, yeah, pay off that debt, but you better not stop saving either. She's actually more recently started to come more of the route of, you know, maybe there are some savings you need to pay off because the rate of return on that, you know, the interest you're paying on the savings may not exceed what you're making in your 401ks and things like that. And so she's kind of gone in the middle there a little bit. But you've noticed it's kind of a little bit fuzzy. And the reason it's fuzzy a little bit, you know, in their advice, the reason they try to make a blanket statement, but it doesn't apply to every situation, is because everybody's situation is different. And so what I'm going to tell you, of course, is that, you know, as a disclaimer, what I'm giving you are examples. They're not necessarily advice for you specifically, but I want you to kind of see my perspective of how I see it. And then you can apply that in your own situation however you want to apply it or however you feel is best you'll apply it. I definitely agree with the method that you should save while you're looking at paying off debt for the most part. I've had many clients where, in fact, I just got an email last night from somebody saying, you know what, hey, we're trying to work on our spending and our budget. It's been a little bit out of control the last few months. You know, Chris, But that's great, but we're still worried about retirement. What about retirement? The thing I would say about that, you know, where you've got loans, maybe your savings is limited, maybe you have no savings at all, and you're debating about retirement and things like that and savings, I would tell you to don't even worry about retirement right now. Don't even worry about that. The thing is savings is savings, no matter where it is. You can always move money into retirement savings whenever you feel like. But for some of you where you're so strapped every single month, especially if you've got a lot of credit card balances and things like that, you might very well be better off paying on those loans and paying off those credit cards and things of that nature. Not always, but typically at least putting some towards that. Now I'll tell you, a lot of times I've told people that, you know, if you're gonna be trying to aggressively pay down loans, you might want to make sure you've got good money in the bank. And I don't mean $1,000. I think that's a ridiculous idea to only put $1,000 in and then start attacking your credit cards. Horrible, horrible idea for almost anybody, for that matter. I mean, think about it this way. I mean, and that's something that's been advice from one particular expert for the last 20 years. And the reason he does that is because he says, hey, it's worked for the last 20 years, so I'm just going to stay with it. Remember, there's a difference between principles and strategies. Principles never change. Strategies can change over time. And so we're looking at strategies, for example. I mean, that's a strategy of saving $1,000. Pure strategy, not a principle. The principle behind it is having enough savings for that rainy day, right? Having that savings for that period of time when something bad comes up or you have an emergency come up, you need cash fast. Nowadays, $1,000 is nothing. $1,000 might be a new washer and dryer, maybe not even that. You know, that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. For most people, this is again a blanket statement, so this is not true for everybody, but for most people, I actually like to see them get up to about a month's worth of savings before, and that's a month's worth of expenses. So if you spend $5,000 a month, $5,000 might be a good number to save to before you really get aggressive paying down credit cards or other loans. Again, the situation is always case by case, but as a pretty typical rule of thumb, I'm definitely going to want to see that you want to have some good savings first. At least a little bit, so that if any little hiccup happens, you're not going right back to a credit card to start charging things up. Because why spend all the extra money paying out a credit card like I've seen a lot of people do, only have to charge it back up because you didn't have enough savings. And by the way, whenever I've paid off a loan, and every time I've done that, if I use all my savings to pay off that loan, something happens where I've got to get to that money again. And so I definitely don't recommend that being the type of choice where you just spend and liquidate all your savings just to pay off that loan, just because emotionally it feels better. If you're doing it just purely off emotions, you're going to make a bad call from time to time. You know, I'm not saying that emotions aren't part of it, and I do have people make some decisions based on what's affecting them emotionally, and what's affecting their scarcity and their abundant mindset, but usually it's a perspective shift that needs to happen, not a strategy as much. And so, for example, some people say, I just hate this particular Bank of America or this particular card or whatever it might be. You might say, I hate this particular card. Okay, well, great. I know you hate it, but so what? You know, give you an example. Just last week I had somebody that they're saying, hey, we're looking at wanting to pay off this line of credit. It was $24,000, and with that $24,000, they free up $300 a month. Not a lot in my world, you know, when it comes to trying to save, you know, free up cash. That's a lot of money to pay out to free up $300 a month. But then I showed them, I said, well, that's $300 a month, but look over here. We pay off this auto loan, it's $8,000, it's a third of the cost of what that other line of credit that you have is, and yeah, it might be a slightly less interest rate, but still, a third of the cost, and you still free up $300 a month. Same amount of cash will free it up, but you spend $16,000 less per month. That's a big deal. I said, I'd rather see you pay $300 a month, which is killing your peace of mind anyways. Not the type of bank that you're working with. It's the payment that you don't like. Why not free it up and save yourself $16,000? And then we can work on that later. And so he did it. He's like, okay, cool. I'll do it. That's cool. And it made sense. So we gotta separate emotions a little bit from time to time. Many people are taught with debt to get angry and to get mad and things like that, right? And I don't believe that really should be the case. I don't think we should just be getting angry or getting mad because that's scarcity. That doesn't help people make more money. That helps people drive away money is when you have those kind of emotions. You want to do these things in faith. You want to do these things with confidence. You want to do these things with, you know, real clarity. Because when you know why you're doing it and how you're doing it, I can't tell you how much better the world becomes, how much easier money becomes, and you start making better calls and much better judgment. So I know we're talking a lot about debt, but that's because that's the topic here, especially if you've got it. Now, like I said, it's like there's a lot of cash flow to be freed up. Loans will probably be a good thing to pay off after you've got a little bit of savings, a little bit of emergency savings. And even then, a lot of times I'll have people still put a little bit extra per month to emergency savings and then a little extra to their loans, depending on the situation. By the way, when you're paying off loans, if it's a credit card type of thing, you might want to, you know, it might be okay to pay off some extra to that because you lower the minimum monthly payment as you pay it down. But if you're let's say the next loan you're trying to pay off is a car loan or a student loan, for example, we don't want to be putting extra money to those loans. There's no safety and security in doing that. In fact, it's the opposite. Because you put all this extra money to those loans, it's not like you can go get that money back out very easily, if at all. You put extra money to a student loan, you can't just ask them, hey, can I get that money back out because I paid you extra? They'll say no. You pay that to them. It's theirs. It's gone out of your life. So if you're going to save up money to pay off those loans, make sure you save it up in a way that save it in a side, like in a savings account, and then when you have more than enough money to pay it off, then you pay it off. Not with every dollar you have, but above and beyond some of the extra emergency savings that you have, then you pay it off. Does that make sense? So that's kind of what we do with that. In the meantime, though, I mean, I do get a lot of people where we get down to the point where we've maybe got a few very good loans. You know, maybe they're student loans. Maybe they're a mortgage. You know, they got a mortgage still and some of those kind of loans. And maybe even the car loan, too, depending on the loan and how it is. Typically, these are the lower interest rate type of loans, right? Ones that are about 6% or less, give or take. Now, when you have a situation like this, this is where I would probably encourage you to start saving instead of trying to pay extra to those loans. And the reason being is because there's different types of interest at play here. To give you an example, and this is something I use in my workshops all the time, and again, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not looking at the numbers. I'm pretty close within a few thousand of this, but for the most part, most of these numbers are pretty right on from what I've shown here. So say, for example, you've been saving up your money, and you have got enough money. Say you've got $200,000 on your mortgage to pay it off. You've got enough money that you could liquidate all your assets. You could probably even pay off your home, but let's say you don't, or say that you don't sell your home, I'm saying. But say you've got enough money, you could sell off assets, you have enough savings and retirement accounts and everything to have $200,000 saved up. Now you have $200,000 left on your mortgage. So your choice is, do I pay it off or do I let it grow? And say, for example, maybe you recently refinanced that mortgage to be a 30-year mortgage. So now it's a 30-year mortgage for a $200,000 mortgage. Now, if you kept that mortgage for 30 years and you paid the minimum payments on that mortgage, you would have spent, you know, your total interest is not as much as most people would think. Say it's a 4.5% mortgage, because for many people, you probably have right around there or a little bit less, a little bit more, but right around 4.5 right now. If you have a 4.5% mortgage, like a $200,000 mortgage at 4.5%, you'll spend $164,000 in interest over the life of that loan. So over 30 years, you'll spend $164,000 of interest. So that's the variable, right? You know, of course, you'll pay down the $200,000. You'll have it all paid off. So basically, you pay $364,000 to pay off your $200,000 home. Now, many people freak out about that number. They say, oh my gosh, wow, that's a lot. And so your best case scenario in this, you know, for if you were to have $200,000 in the bank, for most people that would see this, they'd say, well, my best case scenario would not be to pay extra to my mortgage. It'd be just to pay it off, right? Just pay it off, save the $164,000 over the next 30 years. Now, I'll have to build my savings back up slowly and gradually over time with my mortgage payment, but I'll eventually get there after a number of years and get back to where I was. So that's one option. You can always just pay off mortgage and save yourself the $164,000. But what if you didn't? Say, for example, you took $164,000 or that $200,000 you could have paid off your mortgage and said, you know, I'm going to let that grow and compound. And say you only earn 3.5%. So your mortgage is 4.5%, but you're only earning 3.5%. That's basically like a good CD or like very low bond rates, right? So that's what you earn, 3.5% over the next 30 years. Now, in 30 years, you will have a paid-off house, but how much will you have in savings? Now, the house will cost you $164,000 interest. Remember that number, right? Now, at 3.5%, $200,000 after 30 years will become, now pay attention here, after 30 years, $200,000 after 30 years at 3.5% will become about $360,000, about $349,000 if I remember correctly, $349,000. Now wait a minute. If a 4.5% mortgage in interest you're paying $164,000, how is it that savings will turn 3.5% into $349,000? That's a lot of different, isn't it? Essentially, there's about a $200,000 difference between the two, isn't there? Now, granted, because it did cost you $164,000, you still made about $200,000 net. That's the net you've made. So why is that? Well, that's because there's two different interest rates. You have simple interest on your mortgage, which as time goes on, you pay it down, there's less and less interest. But in savings, it's compound interest. Over time, it saves and grows, and eventually becomes more and more and more to the point where it's like a snowball that keeps gathering more strength and getting bigger and bigger. That's why. What's interesting is that the break-even point, if you want to match the amount from what you earn in savings versus what you do on a 4.5% mortgage, as long as you're earning about 2.1% or so, you will match that same interest rate. As the same interest that you pay on your mortgage, you'll make also in savings. So as long as you can beat at least about half of the interest rate on your mortgage and what you make in savings, you will actually exceed the amount of interest you'll earn over time and be better off. Here's what's crazy, though. Say you have that $200,000, you let it grow over 30 years at 4.5%, so the same interest rate as the mortgage, it's actually $459,000. You make almost $500,000, or after we factor out the interest that you paid, I mixed two numbers up. After 30 years, I know this is a lot. You might have to write this down. I hate to run out numbers too often when we're doing just something like this. But after 30 years at 4.5%, your $200,000 will actually earn $549,000 in interest. Sorry, what did I say? $459,000 in interest. Sorry, back me up, though. You go and check it out yourself. $459,000 in interest. I was right the first time. So $459,000 in interest at 4.5%. Almost $500,000. Now you take out the money, the $164,000 that you had to pay. It's almost $300,000 extra you made by not paying off your mortgage. That's almost $300,000. Would that make a big difference in your life? Obviously it would, right? So this is why I'm addressing this topic, because the thing is, if you know you can earn more than what it costs you on the interest, and not just the interest rate, but again, if you earn at least half the interest rate on a mortgage, it's better off not to put extra in a mortgage, but to instead put in savings. If you're going to gamble your money away and be a bad steward over it, I would say pay off your mortgage. If you don't know how to be more productive with it, I would not recommend it. This is part of the reason why next week we'll talk more about what are those options, where could you put money away instead that's, you know, a better place than just mutual funds, where you could be gambling a lot. I don't necessarily recommend you use mutual funds, but even this example, I mean, even if you've got a conservative mutual fund that was paying pretty consistently, wasn't going up and down like crazy, you're in 3.5% or 4.5%, you're making better than what you'd actually save yourself in interest by paying off your mortgage. So those are for those of you that have not paid off your mortgage yet. If you're already in the process, you're like, well, we're getting pretty darn close, you might consider looking at a refinance and then taking that extra cash and saving it and making it build and grow for you. But again, it's case by case. I don't recommend people doing that without getting professional help. This is why we do that. That's why we help people with that kind of stuff, because it is case by case. I will tell you that probably about 1% to 2% of cases, I do tell people just to pay off their mortgage. For the most part, though, I don't have people do that because, you know, in most cases, there's not enough money in savings to really justify doing that. It's usually gets to the point where people have so much in savings, they don't know what to do with it, and therefore paying off the mortgage is the best deal because they could make way more than what they're paying in interest, so why not put them in a better position after 20, 30 years, where they could pay off the mortgage anytime but still have a lot of money in savings. And by the way, that's my goal, is I'd love to have you at a place where you could pay off your mortgage at any time, but choose not to because you have something better to do with it. If you don't have something better to do with it, then we pay off the mortgage. Plain and simple. It's all about stewardship and what's the best stewardship for you in your situation. Now, what if you're already debt-free? This is a great question. What should we do if we're already debt-free? There are some people that say throw it and gamble it in mutual funds. I think it's crazy to pay off a guaranteed loan, something that you know will give you X amount of dollars of cash flow every month, that's a guarantee for you, knowing what you'll be like financially, to then gamble it away into mutual funds like 401ks and IRAs, in hopes and prayers that it's going to work out. And you have no clue what the future holds with that kind of situation. I don't like that kind of work. I don't like that kind of plan, per se, right? If I'm going to create a game plan, I want to create a game plan that works no matter what happens in your situation, no matter what's coming up in your life, that kind of thing. And so, where should you do it? I think one is, if you haven't done this beforehand and you're already to the place where you've paid off your loans and your debt, you need to start investing in things to protect your money that you're trying to build. And this might mean investing some of that cash flow into things like different insurances, into legal planning, like estate planning and things like that. For those of you that are business owners, things like having the right corporations. All these things to protect your money, because you don't want to have one event take away all that money, right? We don't want something like death or disability or bad health or something like that to take away all your money in one shot, especially if you put all that to then, pay off debt and then have to go back into debt to do it to be able to deal with life. I'd rather have the insurance companies at risk for your money, not you. So I really believe that some money should be put into that kind of savings to protect you. I think of it like a farmer. If they want to keep a lot of their cattle or they want to keep a lot of horses, they're going to build a good, strong, solid fence. They're not just going to put up like some string and hope that it keeps them in. They're going to put up a good, strong, solid fence. They might even put up an electric fence and things like that to keep them in, because you don't want to lose your assets. That's the first thing. The second thing is that where can we produce that money? What's the best use of it in your stewardship? And this question will come up again next week, and so it ties in with the same thing. But I would definitely say if you don't know where to put your money and you're just looking for a good – if you're just looking for a solid place, I would go for a place that are guaranteed. Some people will say, hey, I've got an old 401k or IRA. What should I do with it? You might want to move into like fixed or indexed annuities, roll it over into that, especially if it's an IRA or 401k. If you've got new money, you got cash flow, you don't know what to do with it, there's things like mutual funds you want to avoid, but maybe do something like Whole Life. And we'll talk more about that next week as one of those options, because if you use Whole Life like the way most people teach, I don't recommend it. If you use Whole Life a different way, like the way that I recommend people do and like a lot of my clients, you can actually use it in a great way that can create a lot more peace of mind and even potentially out-earn the stock market and what you would do normally with mutual funds. So there's a lot of great options there. But the big key factor is, one, you invest in things that protect you, and then two, you put in good, safe, solid places where you're not going to lose money. That is what I would do with your money after you pay off your debt, is get into a nice, good, solid place. And obviously, I want you to invest in things that could help increase your stewardship. If you have a business, I'd love to see you invest in your business more and doing things like that. But again, that's a very personal case-by-case question or an answer in that sense. So, it always depends. So that's the thing. If you still got loans, you still got debt, the good thing is there's a lot of options there. If you don't have debt, there's still options there. I mean, the thing is this, is that we want to be the best steward possible. That is a true principle. Strategy is going to depend on your own situation, and that's why we a lot of times will advise people on that and how to do it, and that's why we have events and things like that to help out and things of that nature. So anyways, the big thing I want you to take away from this is, one, if you've got debt, paying off your debt might cost you more than you think, maybe in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I might have saved you a lot of money just now. For those of you that have already paid off your debt, you've already done it, great. We want to make sure you keep it, that we don't lose it. This is Chris Miles here, telling you how to live your life, live prosperously, to focus on cash flow, not on accumulation, to focus on creating flow today, because I'll tell you, it's all about the cash flow. Hey, this is Chris Miles here, Chris Miles Money Show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.